TV dramas and comedies about people hitting middle age seem to be back in vogue. In fact, I'm not sure if they ever went out of vogue. The phenomenal success of last year's This Is Us appears to have inspired some other networks to get on board. Netflix enters this space on Friday with a comedy-focused, star-studded Friends from College.
L. Ron Howard wanted to start a cult.
L. Ron Hubbard.
That's 100% L. Ron Howard.
It's 100% L. Ron Hubbard.
It's 100% L. Ron Howard. 100%.
Why do you know so much about Scientology except the guy's name? That's the easiest part of it. What was it? Did he invent Scientology, like, after he directed Backdraft in Apollo 13?
No, that was Ron Howard.
That's pretty funny. It's a big cast with well-known faces from How I Met Your Mother, Key and Peele, The Grinder. They're all in it. But is it a bit bland for Netflix? That's the question Dan Barrett is here to answer. He's the online editor at SBS and our regular TV guy. Dan, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
Is it a bit bland? Where does this show fit into this trend that we're seeing?
Look, I mean, I sort of look at shows like this as being very sort of reminiscent of The Big Chill from the 80s. So you got people of whom are like 35 through to about 45, and it's friends coming back and meeting each other after years of being apart. This is very much The Big Chill, but the TV show. The thing is that you think about The Big Chill, and it's kind of lost all cultural relevance, I think, these days, because the way that people behaved as 35 to 40-year-olds back in the early 80s are really quite different to today, because people, looking at my own peers, like, we're kind of living off that promise that the baby boomers sort of really offered, which is just delaying adulthood as far as possible and starting families later and dealing with the realities of
so
life.
So still kid-olts at 35.
Well, very much so, and this show kind of really looks at it from that perspective. So you've got people of whom are professionally sort of fairly far along in their respective fields, but they're still very much sort of hanging on to the relationships they had and the behaviours they had when they were college students. And of course, because they're all meeting up together after several years apart, they're kind of reverting back to the way they were back then.
Sure. Now, The Big Chill, to stay with that analogy, it had an all-star cast. It also had a sensational soundtrack, which I think lives on way beyond the film. What is this called again? Friends from College. Such a dull name.
Really unforgettable name.
What does that have to offer?
Oh, look, the cast on it's actually really quite good. So there's a few names I didn't quite know, but you've got some very familiar faces. Keegan-Michael Key, who was part of the comedic group Key and Peele. His partner's gone off to become a big-time movie director now, with Get Out being one of the big films this year.
All right, yeah.
He's pursuing acting pretty much exclusively, and he's really great in this. He's one of the real sort of focal points for the show. I got Colby Smulders, who was in How I Met Your Mother, and I love her. I think she's fantastic. And in this, she's actually able to act like a real human being in a way that I don't think she could in that show. So it's really welcome seeing her here. And also, there's this great comedy presence. His name's Nat Faxon. Who you'll know his face if you see it, but you probably wouldn't really know him by name. And it's a bit hard to think about where he's from. But he's a really charming guy. And as the series goes on, you don't get much of him at the start, but a few episodes in, he starts to feel a bit more.
For these things to work, and it was as true as the sort of the Brat Pack, the, you know, the Molly Ringwalds and co from back then, as it was The Big Chill, it's all about how they work together, the ensemble cast, for it to be believable. Does that happen? Is that charming here?
This is the thing, because they're supposed to be old friends. They're supposed to have a very strong chemistry from the outset. And it's kind of there. The one thing working in the show's benefit is that all of them have been away from each other for quite a long time. So when they actually do meet up, there's supposed to be some tension. There's supposed to be some absence of that connection. Mm. So they kind of get away with it. But I do think that it's a bit of a reach thinking about Fred Savage, who's one of the actors, you know, remember from the Wonder Years, for years gone by. He's here as an adult. He's supposed to be friends with Keegan-Michael Key, and the two characters don't really seem like they have much in common beyond a professional bond. It's kind of strange. So you still look at this and you don't quite buy it, but it's sort of there.
Should we watch it?
Look, I think that Netflix are a brand which is known for really sort of compelling original ideas, or at least finding ideas which may not feel original but have a very key thing to latch onto. This feels like every other generic drama around. It feels like Togetherness from HBO. It feels like Casual from Hulu. It's fine, but I don't think people are really going to take to it in a way that usually happens with these Netflix shows.
Okay. What about Amazon streaming service, Train 48?
Yeah, so Amazon in Australia is a bit of a mixed bag of some really great dramas, and then there's like weird things they've acquired from around the place.
This sounds weird, Train 48.
This is a weird thing they've acquired. This is a Canadian show from 2005, and I'll give you the premise. It may sound familiar to Australian listeners. Basically, it's about a series of commuters every evening. So they shot this the same day that they wrote the scripts, and it gets broadcast that night. It's about commuters on the train ride home every night, and they discuss the news and events of the world that they've experienced throughout the day. Now, people may think that sounds familiar because it's actually based on an Australian show that ran on SBS for a limited number of weeks called Going Home. And it was the same thing where you had people riding the Sydney train systems, talking about the news of the day. Now, this show, because it's from 2005 and it's a topical TV show.
That seems to make it fail right there.
Completely. Like, there is no reason really to watch this show for entertainment value. But as a curiosity, definitely give it a look. Because it's an interesting format that would never work today because you don't talk to people on trains anymore. You stare at your mobile phone and try to ignore everyone else in the carriage.
Or you've got your headphones in as well.
Exactly.
Okay, your picks for this week. You've got another one from Amazon.
Very briefly, if you're a Grateful Dead fan, which I'm sure you are, Fran.
Huge.
But if you're a fan of that, there's a really
Give me that, Paul Kelly.
There's a great doco called Long Strange Trip. And essentially it aired as a feature film at a few film festivals. It goes for about 4 hours, so a long thing. On Amazon, though, it's split up to, I think, about five parts, so it's more digestible. The first half of it, purely for fans only. If you love The Grateful Dead, you really get into this. The back half of it, though, is actually really quite good for people like me who are probably more interested in the human angles and the characters behind the music.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely give it a look if you're predisposed to that. If you're a fan of Suits, Universal Channel are expressing it from the US from Thursday at 8:30. Game of Thrones comes back Monday. People know this. I don't really need to tell them that. And also, if you've been watching The Handmaid's Tale, which I know you have,
which
been, Fran.
Which is incredible but grueling. I mean, I urge everyone to watch it, but really, it ain't no light. It's really tough.
Yeah, you will come out of it hating the world in a very big way, in all the best ways.
Suspecting the world.
So you've got that show on SBS, but in the 90s, they actually made a movie based off the book as well. And the movie is terrible. But if you watch the show and you're kind of curious to see how they handled it in a very bad, what feels like a director VHS kind of experience, check out The Handmaid's Tale movie. It was made in 1990 and currently streaming on Stan.
Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dan Barrett, online editor at SBS and our regular TV guy. You're listening to RM Breakfast.